Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for June 10th, year 2018. I am the host and chairman for this call, Pastor and Commander Dan. And this goes out to the house of Jacob Israel, to all of our brothers and sisters all over the earth. The agenda and or title for today is Patrick Little, who is the congressional candidate out in California. We got Jay from downtown White Police that is joining us, and since it's California, they're about 3 hours behind us, so it's quite early out there. So we're hoping that Patrick will be able to join us in a few minutes or possibly a little later. So we'll talk about some other issues until then. As always, we dedicate this conference call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. And we dedicate this call also to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. And today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. If I have any of my Welsh kinsmen out there, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Cumru and Beth, Wales forever. We do have a lot of information on the website, PastorDan.net. Again, that's www.PastorDan.net. And there's a daily mail page there. Please get in the habit of checking it from time to time, because I cannot send out the email that I used to. I have hundreds of people on the list. Carriers such as Gmail, Yahoo, etc., they are interceding any email that they don't like. They're claiming it's a potential violation of their spam policy, and they're just doing it to protect you. We all know that it is a veiled form of censorship. That's what they're trying to prevent, is our talking back and forth and sharing information has nothing to do with spam, because they'll let any kind of degenerate spam go out there. So that's a lie, and so we know who controls that sort of media. And so I would appreciate it if you would just check PastorDan.net from time to time. Just go to the tab that says Daily Mail and just look down through there, see if anything interests you, okay? I know that I put a lot of stuff up there, and not all of it is going to interest you. That's okay. You don't have to read everything. I'm putting it up there, hoping that you'll see two or three or maybe four items that you want to get up to speed on, and then, go from there. But in the meantime, while the censorship is going on, I do ask that you do that, okay? It's much easier for me, too. To send out the bulk email takes up a lot of my time, because I don't have lists. A lot of folks do, okay? So I have an address book with over 500 names in it that I have to go through for each email I send out and handpick the people that I think will get some benefit from that. Every now and then it doesn't work, though. I got a nasty gram from somebody I've worked with before who did not like John Kaminsky's article talking about the Jews. So you find out sometimes who your friends are and who they aren't. But anyway, let's get started here. And I believe, Jay, you're on. Can you hear me okay?
Hearing you just fine. Am I coming through okay?
You're coming in loud and clear, or 5x5, as they say in the radio shacks for the ham operators. So, yep, loud and clear. And hopefully we'll get Patrick Little. I watched that video where he was talking with those young guys, especially that youngster Nick Fuentes, only 19 years old, a punk. He's still wet behind the ears. That's what my elders, when I was a boy and I was 18, 19 years old, they were telling me, you're wet behind the ears, meaning you don't even have a right to have an opinion yet. You haven't been in the real world long enough to have an opinion.
Yes, I to let everybody know, it was kind of last minute to reach out for him, and he's out in California, and he's, running a lot of different things, so, he may not, we're hoping he can make it on, and, Yeah, I caught that debate he was involved in yesterday with those little weasels, and it was massively disrespectful. And yeah, I love in the beginning when the guy starts getting on him about, did you win? And he's like, well, no, but I got a significant amount of vote. And coming in for a white nationalist candidate that got no media attention almost whatsoever, had no money, and just was pretty much doing it all by himself except for some online volunteers, he got 12 out of 32, which is impressive. It really is, and spent almost no money on the campaign. Spent almost no money on the campaign, and was openly calling out the Jew. At one point, they threw him out of the Republican convention, so he went outside and drew a big, pulled out a big flag, Israeli flag, and started wiping his feet on it in front of the Republican convention with all the media watching him. So, you know, he wasn't holding back when it comes to talking about the Jew problem. And so to hear that little kid, that Fuentes guy, say, oh, well, you didn't win, so, you know, well, I back winners. And I'm listening to him, and I'm going, and who's he talking? He's talking about the Republic. So I'm like, okay, this is another Republican conservative that's aware of the Jew problem, but isn't going to talk about it because, you know, it's bad optics. And, you know, he's going to so he's going to LARP and cuck for the Republicans and conservatives because they get elected. Well, I'm going to tell him something. He thinks that he's on high ground. He's not. He's in the swamp with the snakes. The Republicans and conservatives get elected because they have to allow that. You're just playing into he's the one that's LARPing. And if you look at it, the Republicans and conservatives lose. They've been losing. That's why we do the things that we do. We don't associate with them is because they lose. They give everything away. If Republicans, you know, it's like the left wins and the Republicans and conservatives lose because they're not real. They're not really there. Most of them are fake. Most of these politicians that get elected are fake because the enemy's never going to allow somebody that's fully awake get in there unless it's by accident.
Well, that's why that little cuck, that 19-year-old cuck, doesn't seem to understand the way the world works. When I was young, dumb, and 19, and in the Air Force, I didn't understand the world. And I had a top-secret clearance and was involved in the Vietnam War. You would think if anybody might know what's going on, it would be somebody in the Strategic Air Command, in the Air Force during a war. And yet we were the most uninformed people on Earth. So, yeah, here's this little 19-year-old punk. That's really what he was, a punk, very disrespectful, talking to a veteran of the United States Marine Corps, 30-some years old, so, you know, over a decade more time on Earth and has accomplished more, and being very, very disrespectful. Like, who cares what a 19-year-old punk has to say about anything? He hasn't accomplished anything. He hasn't done anything except run his mouth on a video stream. That's like, I wrote a comment there. I went ahead and listened to it, and I wrote a comment. I said, why are you wasting your time, Patrick, debating with a soy boy cuck like Fuentes? Nobody cares what he thinks. Obviously, he's so young and dumb that he doesn't even know what matters. And if I had been in Patrick's place, I would have turned around when he was making his comments about, well, you didn't win, as if that's everything. So he's got to have some Jew blood in him. I would have turned around and said, have you ever heard of a guy named Jesus Christ? How much did he make every year? How much did he get in campaign contributions? What kind of political organizations were for him? Did the Jews give endorsements for Christ when he had to say what he had to say? Okay? So, you know, I would have asked him that and seen what the little punk had to say about it. And then King Brutus says here, don't forget Fuentes is also of Mexican descent. Yeah, so he's an alien, okay? He's an invader. He's one of the invaders. So let me, hey, Jay, we've got Jim up in your neck of the woods is on the call as well. Jim, I've unmuted you, buddy. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Jay. How are you guys this fine Sunday morning?
Excellent.
We're doing fine. We're lit up. We just watched a short video where Patrick Little, who was running for Congress out there in California, was debating with some young YouTubers. The worst one, of course, was Nick Fuentes. 19 years old and giving Patrick a hard time because he didn't do as well as this little punk thought he should have. I mean, personally, why are we men, and Patrick Little is truly a man, he's an alpha male if there ever was one, why are we alpha males wasting time with the gnats of this world, because that's all he is, like a little gnat, he's annoying you, that don't matter. We don't need to waste our time interviewing with morons like that. We need to do like what we're doing here is the men get together and figure out what our path of operations is going to be going forward to fix this world, okay? And we don't need the support of the cucks, the soy boys, and the snowflakes, and the social justice warriors, and the transgender, and the queers, and all the other aberrations of nature, because they're not going to stop us because they're terrible soldiers. And they're not going to help us because they are an aberration of nature, and we're trying to put everything back into God's proper order. So why are we even messing with them? Why do we care? Did the communists enjoy the takeover when countries kicked them out, like the Russians finally kicked them out of their lands? Did the Russians go along with that? Of course they bellyached and whined the entire way. The Bolshevik Jews, okay? They always bellyache when people finally wake up to their machinations and start to throw them out. I mean, they've been thrown out of, what are we up to, 109 or 110 countries the Jews have been thrown out of because of their deeds. People say, well, it's
109.
109. So 109 times a country finally woke the hell up. Let's make the United States 110. Okay, we'll be the 110th. That's a nice round number there. 110th nation to finally wake up. What'd you say, Jim?
I second that motion. I said, second that motion. Can I get a third?
I think Jay would do it.
Well, hell yeah, but I'll tell you what, we might be in competition with Syria because within the Syrian army, they've got their own little meme going on within the Syrian military, and there's been kids writing it on the walls. They call it the 110. All of them keep saying it to each other. It's going to be 110 because Assad basically told the Israelis in the Golan Heights that, hey, look, I'm not playing around. If you think you can launch missiles out of the Golan Heights and I'm just going to put up with it, you're full of crap. And this is like about 2 weeks ago, I guess they did it. And so Assad actually launched a missile into a building that contained like 30 IDF soldiers and Israeli military personnel and blew the hell out of it, killed them all. And general staff within the Syrian army is all like, oh, we're going in there. The Jews can't not screw up. They're not going to be able to sit there and be good and not, continue to launch attacks and propagate. So they're all like kind of laughing about it. They're just sitting on the border of the Golan Heights tapping their foot. And so I guess the meme they've been saying is 110. The Golan Heights is going to be 110.
Well, yeah, bravo. More nations need to do that because they're a menace to the entire world. I mean, the scriptures even allude to that in Revelation when the world wakes up to realize that the son of perdition that deceived the whole world. Now, remember that key phrase from scripture, that deceived the whole world. Who are the world's greatest deceivers? Whose secret army or secret service, the Mossad, has a motto that by deception thou shalt do war? Okay? Their very existence is a deception. The name of their nation, Israeli. Now, over in English countries, we call it Israel, but they don't call it Israel. They call it Israeli. That's why they're known as Israelis and not Israelites. Israelis. The devil is in the details, folks. That's why the imposters get away with it. They say they're the chosen of the Bible. Really? How much Abrahamic blood is in the Ashkenazi Jew, which is 95% of them? Answer, none. All right, none. They're not even DNA related to anybody in Scripture that's close to being called chosen, meaning in a good way chosen. Now, they are chosen according to Obadiah at verse 18, but that's not a very nice thing to be chosen in the way Obadiah is talking about. So, a little bit. Go ahead.
I was just laughing. I was cackling at what you said. I'm sorry. I had to interrupt you.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. Sometimes I ramble, so you have to jump in there and say, hey, Dan, give me a shot. But, you know, the point of it is these guys are the world's greatest deceivers, and the world's waking up to their deception. That's why we have so many things like the 8chan and 4chan boards and the Anons, and people like them. All over the earth now, there's YouTube channels. Because I'm retired, I can spend all day looking for this stuff. And there's YouTube channels popping up everywhere. And when people try to apologize for the Jews and their behavior now, they're getting shut down. It's like 200 to 1, the comments that are anti-Jew and anti-making excuses for their behavior. So they're losing control. And just like Scripture says, go ahead.
I was going to say, look what happened with Nikki Haley. Remember the video I sent you yesterday when Nikki Haley tried to get on you said the world has been deceived, and the world is. The world has been deceived, but they're not deceived anymore, and they're pissed off. Nikki Haley tried to push some, amendment or agenda through the UN, and it was a pro-Israeli thing, and not one single vote for it. I mean, not one. That one guy was outside going, I don't think that's ever happened in the history of the UN for somebody to not get a single vote for what they were trying to push.
Yep,
is that when
true.
She got all upset, all pissed off, and walked out, or is this recent?
This is recent.
Oh my God.
Yeah, this happened like yesterday or Friday.
She needs to go. She can come clean my bathroom. It's about as much credit I'd give her. Sorry.
Well,
about
she's another crypto Jew. Indian descent, actually a mixed breed Indian. She's not even white, not even American, not really. And so I don't even know what he put her in there for. She's inept, incompetent. She was an incompetent governor of, I believe it was South Carolina. She was. She signed off on allowing our monuments, Confederate monuments, to be torn down. So she's a traitor. She's an idiot, first of all, and a traitor. And so she goes in there thinking, because she's from the United States and part Jew, that she can go in there and muscle her way around in the UN. And the rest of the world's waking up. Hey, Nikki, got news for you. Knock, 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 knock. That's me knocking on your wood head. That, hey, the rest of the world isn't buying your bullshit no more. The rest of the world is not going to take this imperialistic Jewish attitude that America has adopted, because now we're all proselytes to these bastards. And so she walks in there thinking that if she goes up and, oh, by the way, I want you to vote this way on this bill. Yeah. They got her on camera doing this, and every one of them looked at her and
her,
said,
Dave,
no.
Have you seen her? I mean, she sits there, and I swear that it's at least either one paragraph or one sentence per page, and she sits there and reads it. And I've done public speaking and things, and I can get on a good one, and I don't have a script here. But, I mean, anyone that watches her perform on our proposed behalf and believes her has got to be – we got to go find them and shake them. She is obviously reading someone else's script, and to have one paragraph per page, I bet it's in like 20-point font, that it's so big that she can't mess up. But, I mean, therein lies her actions right there with that example. Just tells me that it's so fake, it just sits here and boils my blood. And I'm calm because it's only 10 o'clock in the morning, and when you and I get on the phone, it's normally 9, 10 o'clock Eastern time, so I'm all lathered up. But We have to get rid of the UN. UN is absolutely nothing. And one question for Jay and for you, Dave. Do you think Assad gassed his own people, or is that just total bullshit, in your gentleman's opinion?
Good, Jay.
Not at all. I don't think he gassed him at all. And I want to make a quick comment on, honestly, I think in the battlefield right now, guys, we have reached the point where I don't want them to remove Nikki Haley. I think it's a great idea. I want them to continue to put inferior races and incompetent women into powerful positions in every single branch of government and CIA and military, because it's reached a point where they've become our own best friends. Because, you know, other than not getting the vote, the last thing she did before she walked out is right after she didn't get one person to vote for what she wanted, somebody else, the Saudis or somebody, put forth another bill or another agenda that was calling for another investigation into the potential war crimes that Israel has committed in the last few weeks against the Palestinians. And what does Nikki Haley do? Right after getting this embarrassing no vote for what she wanted, she takes the time to use the American veto, because we're one of the few countries that has that veto power, and vetoes the bill that everybody else wanted that was anti-Israel. So to me, I'm like, that's beautiful. That is great, because we've talked about it before. You know, if we get what we want, if we were to get the free state of Florida, I'm of the camp, I don't see us ever voting our way out of this situation. If we get the free state of Florida, they're going to sanction us and make it as difficult as possible for us to survive. So we need other nations in the world. You know, we're going to need anybody to be as friendly with us as possible to, you know, if we do need outside resources. But what that tells me is people like Nikki Haley and the actions of our upper echelon are going to piss off everybody else so much that if we ever get when we do get our foot in the door and we get our opportunity, those people in those other nations are going to look and go, hey, look, I'll tell you what, we need to get those National Socialist Free State of Florida type guys. I don't care how racist or anti-Semitic they say we are. If we want to get Israel out of our hair and American troops and bases out of all our damn countries, we need those guys to succeed, because those are the only ones that are going to do it. Those are the only ones that are going
to do it. What I'm hearing you say, and I agree, is let's give them enough rope to hang themselves, as we all used to. You know, even when I owned my bank maintenance business, I was blessed with a great staff, but I had this one guy that I knew was stealing parts from me, and rather than just go confront him, I just gave him enough rope to hang himself. And that's what I'm hearing you say. Does that sound correct?
That's dead on. Right now, think about it. In the last year, 2 or 3 years, the Jews, the enemy, has done more to help us wake up our people through their own stupid, hubris, and cocky decisions than 10 years of us making YouTube videos. So right now, they're almost like, as much as they're our worst enemy, they're also our own best friend when it comes to waking people up. So, yeah, I'm all for it. Let's let them keep continuing to do more ridiculous and disastrous stuff, because they're helping us right now more than they're hurting us in a weird way when it comes to waking up our people and getting them on board with the problem.
Amen to that. Hey, by the way, I'm pretty sure I don't have to remind you this, but if Patrick at some time wakes up and wants to join us, make sure he can join in anytime he wants. So,
I send him the number.
Dave, yeah. I also shared it with our friend Marty. Marty and I have been discussing these issues for well over 5 years, and we just last week discovered that we knew each other in St. Petersburg back in the 80s. So I sent him the number. He may be calling in. And Marty is also retired intelligence type. He moved from Maryland with his wife, his lovely wife, down to Dallas. And I swear, Jay and Marty, we're going to have a hard time distinguishing, because Jay and Marty have an identical voice print. I mean, it is identical. And it's, you know, the passion shows. And, you know, I was listening to our last show, Dave, the next morning, and I'm like, man, Jim, you better settle down. You're going to blow a gasket. But we can't settle down. So thanks for the heads up. I think I sent you some photos. I am feverishly writing up some RTMP servers here, going to get off Ustream and have total control of these broadcasts, so we don't have to answer to YouTube or Ustream or any of that stuff. But I'm glad I took a little break here and was able to join you guys. Thanks for the invitation.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome, sir. Well, here's the good news. Many, many months ago, a lot of people were asking me, Dan, when you started the ARC project, where should we build a community? Where should we try to gather and actually effectively accomplish something? And I was struggling with that because I had invitations for Montana and out in the Northwest, the central part of the country in the Ozarks and Missouri and places like that. And then, of course, we had Florida and some places up in the far Northeast. And so I struggled. I said, I need a sign. And in my prayers and all, I said, I need a sign. Well, within about 3 months, all of a sudden I start finding all kinds of people like Jay and Phil up in Tampa and Phil over in Orlando and my buddy that's got my Navy buddy that's got the gun and ammunition manufacturing process over on the East Coast. Another guy, or actually two or three guys up in the Panhandle. Another broadcaster over in Panama City, a lady over in the far western corner of the Panhandle. Yeah, my point is, over and over and over again, I'm finding true patriots, true believers, and activists all over the state of Florida. I even find out Renegade Tribune is put out by here. JSNIP4 is out of Florida. Mark Taylor, the guy.
Yeah, Jay Snip's only about 20 miles north of me, Dave. Sorry to interrupt, but yeah, I've followed him for a while too, and he's, he kind of got off on the crypto, Bitcoin, right, this, that, and the other, but he developed a pretty good relationship with, who's the old techie guy?
Well, Bix Weir and Cliff High.
Cliff High, yes, sir. Anyway, didn't want to interrupt, but yeah, I mean, Florida has a lot of us that are just waiting to coagulate, and then I would, in my efforts, I found Texas to be a close second.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I've spent time in Texas, got a lot of friends there. Texas is already a republic, Lone Star State, so it would be a secondary, or maybe a collateral. Maybe it is a joint effort in both places, but whatever the case may be, we need some focal point to bring together some proactive males and females if they want to help. But I'm mostly focusing on us guys right now. So bring us guys together.
Well, with all due respect to the girls, to the gals, we love you. But I'm an old-fashioned guy. It's time for the men of this country, and I've said this over and over again, the men of this country to stand up and address our issues. And if the gals want to help, keep us alive and well, keep us propped up, keep us, we all have our days of maybe we feel like we're losing. Keep us, do your biblical assignment, ladies. And I hope that doesn't piss off the ladies, but it's time for the men to get up, go do something. And if the ladies want to help, keep us healthy and mentally propped up and mentally fueled up is my old-fashioned theory, Dave and Jay.
Yeah, Dan.
And I agree with you on that.
Dan, I keep calling you Dave. Dave doesn't live here anymore, right?
Right.
No. All right, go ahead, guys. Sorry, a little fun on Sunday.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, and for the young women out there, for all these women, I get into the MGTOW movement and all those guys, and look, like the young men are lost. They understand the problem. They know what's going on. And if you want men to be men again, well, you need to let them operate like that. And you need to let them be around elders. The thing that was funny about that debate we watched earlier is I'm looking at the three young guys, and I noticed a strange comparison between – right now we have a huge glut of young, awake to the Jew and race problem young men, and they're clobbered over between 4chan and Daily Stormer and all those other guys. And what was funny about it is leading up to Charlottesville, and I won't get into the long thing of that, but what I noticed a problem with it is the left always likes to encourage the youth because they're interested in useful idiots. So, yeah, they want young people running around so one or two high-ranking guys can easily manipulate them. We don't want that. White people don't operate. White people respect elders and go for them for advice and have elders come around before they plan warfare and operations and things they're going to do. And a big reason we got slapped and slammed so hard in Charlottesville, and that was just a trap that was set, was because I look at it, it's a bunch of young guys that have woke up in the last 10 years and just have no knowledge of the movement. They know who Rockwell was, and they know he died, but they don't know why he died. They know who William Pierce is, but they don't know what happened to him, and they don't understand what, Knox, they don't understand what freaking Oklahoma City was all about, and they don't understand that what was coming. And, Pastor Dan, I know, in conversation had mentioned something about it. Harold Covington mentioned it. Alex Linder, all of them, Mester said, and all warned about, hey, after the election, watch out. They're going to do something. They're going to come after you, because every time there's a group of racially aware white guys that, get in excess of 20 or 30 guys, and they're sitting around meeting, and the Jews can't listening, and they know that we're talking about the Jews, freaking, they do something. They freaking come in and they launch a trap and get killed and they get thrown in jail and trumped up charges, and this is serious fighting over here. And I noticed it over there, and when I saw those young guys sitting there talking, I'm like, yeah, look at how they're acting. They don't understand where they are. They have no idea. They have no idea what train they currently find themselves deployed on, that they could say such things to Patrick Little. And I'm like, you're denigrating a guy that recently learned what was going on and just decided, man, I've got to do something about this. And he put it all on the line. That is a rare quality in white men today. Everything on the line for a long shot, but he did it because it was the right thing to do. And they're making fun of him. They're like, no, that's not how you do it. You should just, comply and not talk about the Jew and not do all these things. And I'm looking at it, I'm going, yeah, and that's worked for freaking the Republicans for all these years because they're snakes. And you're going to go along with
the term comply. That's what I, and I hope the ladies can cover their ears, but these punks need to get their gonads to drop. And while I interrupted, what do you think of Soy Boy, Hogue, and all this 2020 city bus tour that these dripping wet behind the ears kids are trying? I mean, I don't discount a young person's message, but it's so unfounded and so unbelievably off 180 degrees out of reality. First of all, where'd they get the money at 16, 17 years old, maybe even 18, to get all these people on a bus and do 20 cities? I mean, back when I was that age, I was barely able to buy my own car, but I did. I was a dishwasher at Sambo's, man.
Yeah.
Well, we know where they got the money.
Yeah. Well, it's our Jewish friend, right? George Soros, right? And others.
The same place Antifa and all them get the money. It's always the same place. Like, nobody funds us, but all their stuff is well funded. Antifa and all the leftist stuff is very well funded. So, yeah, we know where they get, but that's also the beauty of where the free state of Florida can work, because We don't have to deport. We don't have to do anything, because when we get our area, when we get our place, all that welfare is going to stop. All that's over with. And these other races are useless without all our help. Go ahead. Sorry.
Are you in Florida, sir?
Yes.
Okay. I'm in Tampa, and you don't have to tell me where you're at, but are you close, or are you more south or more north?
I don't want to dox myself too much, so I don't want to get into too many specifics at this time,
I'm like you. I don't care anymore. I don't have a family to protect. I have businesses to protect. I have staff to protect, And as many know, my love of my life passed 2 Julys ago unexpectedly from cancer. And even she was a fighter like us. But, you know, it's like if you're gonna find me and shut me up, then bring it. But I respect that. I just wondered, you know, A, if you were in Florida, which is great. And like Dan said, not Dave, Dan, you know, Florida is starting to really have the good alpha males start to appear on our shows. And I just sit here, the Lord is bringing us together. So I just needed to know if you were in Florida. And if you are close, maybe, you know, Dan and I are trying to get together face-to-face, and maybe we get a few of us together and go have a nice big steak dinner someplace.
Yeah, hey, guys.
Well, thank Yahweh. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, okay, hold that thought, Jay. I think I want to check a caller that just called in here. This is Ron in Pennsylvania. You're unmuted. Ron, did you have something you wanted to share with us, or are you just listening today?
No, I'm happy to share. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, you're coming in 5x5, buddy.
Fantastic. No, the gist of the conversation this morning, you know, has been taking a look at some of these young bucks that are trying hard, but they're not hitting the point. And I certainly understand the sentiment surrounding that. My concern is that we have to be careful not to alienate these younger people and discourage them from taking a look at our side of things. I think some of these young guys like Fuentes and what have you, though they be radically different than us from a background standpoint, they don't have near the history that we have, they don't have near the experience, that they're trending in a certain direction. It's like you have to get people involved in thinking about our concerns and our way of thinking, and they have a certain appeal to younger people that at least I have found I can't appeal to a lot of younger people because of my age and my appearance and my my life history. Whereas I think that, you know, there has to be some sort of a outreach to get younger people involved that does not include super radical stuff that only attracts the skinhead type of individuals, because I believe that there's a lot of people that hold our sentiments. They just don't know where to go with it. So that's what I wanted to add. And I don't want to be disparaging to anybody, because I have the same sentiments, but I also know that it's important to get young people involved. And I've been trying to do that up here in the Pennsylvania area. And I've been able to, you know, at least get together with a cadre of maybe 25 or 30 younger people that are, you know, half my age or less, who are very interested in pursuing our interests. And they ultimately will come to see our way, or the way we see things, 100%. It's just that they're not mature enough to understand it. That's what I had to say.
Yeah, I agree. And I believe, this is my personal opinion. I'll let the other guys chime in here in a minute. My personal opinion is there's a scripture that says, raise a standard for Jacob and his children. That's us, the white race. Raise a standard in Jacob Israel for the people to rally to. Now, a standard could be a literal flag or a banner, or it could be the men starting to act like men again. Let's face it, the poor young people like our generation didn't have a hell of a lot to try to emulate as far as manhood, okay? We've got, what, how many decades now of feminism, broken homes? So the younger men have lost touch with what it means to be a man. James Lancia just did a Downtown White Police video on what's it mean to be an American anymore. Well, you could say the same thing as far as what's it mean to be a man. They don't know. And for me, the women are suffering for the same reason. Where the hell are the men? And that's the purpose of this program for almost 2 decades now, is to reach the men, for the men to learn how to be men, and not being afraid of being a man, and let's get together, and we can ignore all of these distractions like Fuentes and these little shills out here with shekels in their pockets doing the work of the Jew for them. We don't need to worry about them. We need to be like the Roman legions back in the days of the Roman Empire. When Rome was in trouble, where did they turn? They turned to the men. They turned to the generals who were respected by the younger guys for their leadership. The generals led the legions, and the legions crushed any rebellion or outside threats or even treason in Rome itself. They would go in and crush the treason amongst their own people. And that's where I see the United States, or the states united today here in America, and almost all the white nations. We're under an outright invasion and assault by the commies. The communists, this is their final assault for the final takeover. We don't have time to worry, as Jim alluded to. You know, there is no hiding anymore. You're not going to escape it. We're not going to have anything left. If these people win, if these people succeed, there'll be nothing. There'll be no 401ks. There'll be no boats and docks. There'll be no 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 square foot homes. You won't have any of that, people. Now's the time to unite, and let's decide on a course of action. And my personal preference, and I'll turn this over to the other guys, my personal preference is the free state of Florida is a good start, and then helping other states do the same thing. Let's extirpate Florida from the grips of the commies out of Washington, D.C., and the commies up in Tallahassee, and let's start all over again with the free state of Florida.
Amen, real Dan, quick. I'll just chime in real quick. The gentleman in Pennsylvania made a good point. He made a really, really good point in that we need to be – I was lucky to have a man for a father. I was lucky to have a mom with a heart. I tell people on my shows, I get my balls from my dad and my heart from my mom. There was balance. We had a true home back in the 60s and 70s. And you know what? The gentleman in Pennsylvania really struck a chord with me in my last comment here, is we do need to make ourselves available as mentors if these young men especially will lay down their attitude and come and say, look, guys, I respect your maturity, your experience, and I'd love to get to know you and have you teach me. I tell you what, Dan, I would make time for someone like that to mentor them, and that's my two cents.
Yeah, Jay?
And I just want to say, I was going to add it before, thank you. Earlier you said that, you understood why I didn't want to give too many specifics and dox myself enough, and you said, well, you know, I'm older now, and you've done things in life and accumulated some resources. You're willing to put them on the line. And Pastor Dan, the same way, and let me come on as the young guy here. Well, thank you. God, thank you. That's what we need our elders to do as young men. And thank you in Pennsylvania for going out and reaching out to them. And you're absolutely right. And what I was saying is Vic Fuentes and those guys, they're not necessarily the same as the really awake ones. You know, the really awake ones, the horde that went into Charlottesville, you know, the eldest person there was David Duke. And the fact that David Duke, when all the rest of them, everybody else, Alex Linder, Harold Covington, all the other guys saw what was coming, he didn't say anything. I've always wondered about that. I don't want to get in that conversation, but I'm saying, you know, it's not hard to reach out to young people because they've been starved of this. They want leaders. They want elders to come out and be strong men. And if you're too old to be out there messing around with YouTube and do a podcast, you're listening to this right now, you don't have to do all that stuff. You got a few extra dollars and some time on your hands, and you're not afraid to get out there and call the Jew out and talk about controversial subjects in a group. You know, you're brave enough to get out there and do it. The easiest way to make contacts with young people, to reach out to them, is go down to a community college and find a history class, find a world history class that's going to cover controversial subjects, and show up. Pay, who cares if you pass it or not, for the sole purpose of getting up there and trolling those leftist teachers every chance you get with truth. and have your arguments together. It sounds wild, but I know guys that have done that, and they've almost got little gangs they're walking around with in these colleges now, these young people that follow them around and want to listen to what these guys got to say because they've heard it before. You've got the experience, you've been there, and you're willing to put it on the line. And that's the best way for to introduce these guys, because what it is a lot of these young guys are getting caught up with the enemy's plans, because we know they're around. It's not a paranoid thing. Because like I said before, you look at J. Edgar Steele, Bill White, Matt Hale, you know, the list goes on. You know, the enemy, this is not a game. This is serious, with consequences that many of our people have taken to the grave. That they're not playing around. They're deadly serious, and that's why they come after us really, really hard with all the stops pulled. And so, you know, what happens is they put their own plants in, and then these young guys that are coming up, they end up attached to guys like Richard Spencer and all these other ones. And what do? Do they lead them anywhere? No, they just take them in the desert and run them around in circles, because that's the enemy's game, stall for time. They don't. They want to waste your time. That's their goal, is to just simply waste time, because they can't fight. They can't. We'll beat them every time without white people to do their fighting for them. They can't fight, so they have to force us into courtrooms and voting booths, and you know, and keep them away from guys like you. So thank you for what you do, and you know, continue to speak out and reach out to them, because the young men will follow. They're dying for leaders and strong men. They're dying for it. So they'll follow if you lead.
Yep. And speaking of young men, I think we have a caller, a young man from Pennsylvania, of all places. Kumaran Beth, if you want to unmute and say something, now's the time to do it. Hello. All right. Maybe he's changed his mind. All right. Well, later on, if you do decide you want to say something, just unmute and jump in. Too much background noise. Okay, sorry. Okay, he doesn't want to interfere with the stream with too much background noise. All righty. If you get it figured out, call in and join us then, because we do like to hear from younger people. And in fact, let me just say this, that I'm blessed in the sense that a lot of the feedback and fan mail and stuff that I get comes from some of the younger people, okay? And when I say younger, I'm talking anywhere from teenagers up to the 30s. I consider anybody in there to be a young person. So it's really encouraging to know that these words of truth are resonating with them, even down at that level. So, and here's the thing. What I have found throughout life, back in the 80s, before I learned identity and the biblical aspect of the truth that was hidden, I knew about the unconstitutionality of the income tax. So I became a tax protester. I bought Lynn Johnson's book, Do Unto the IRS Before They Do Unto You, Jacob Schiff, Irwin Schiff's books, and George Gordon's course on common law. I went through all that stuff. But one day, a guy walked up to me, and he said, "Dan, I don't want to hear any more of your bullshit." And I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "Are you filing and paying taxes?" And I didn't know what to say. I just looked at him. He said, "That's what I thought." He said, "And until you put your mouth or your money where your mouth is," he goes, "I don't want to hear any more of your stuff." And, okay, that hurt like hell, because he had me. He had me. In other words, talk is cheap. Actions speak louder than words. And so I became an activist from that point on, but I always remembered those words. People don't follow the talk. And that's what's wrong with so much of the YouTube and different talk radio. We've talked this problem to death. I think everybody's quite aware of the fact that the America we grew up in is dead. It's been dead. And it's dying. The ship, the Titanic, is almost below the surface of the water, and we're still talking about the problems. We need to be action-orientated, and that's what people are waiting for. They're basically like the guy that confronted me. Okay, you guys have all talked about all this, and we know the Jews are behind 90% of our problems, but what are you going to do about it? And so if we take any steps in the direction to solving the problem, I believe it'll be like in 2009 when we went to Washington, D.C. for the very first Tea Party rally in Washington, D.C. There were 2 million people there. One of my best friends, who has passed over now, but one of my best friends from Michigan was one of the organizers for that. So he gave me a lot of inside information about what was going on at the organizational level. And he told me, he said, Dan, we believe we'll have succeeded if we can get 400,000 people there. He goes, well, that'll be success for us. He was dumbfounded when the numbers went up to 2 million. And the thing of it was, it represented somebody doing something. So 2 million people on that day showed up on their own time and with their own money, unlike these Jewish paid-for rallies that David Hogue and the ilk like that go to. These people, 2 million of us down there, I'll tell you, it was an epiphany, and it was a almost a religious experience being amongst 2 million like-minded people. You got the feeling that we could change the world today if we wanted to, and literally we could have, but we had no idea that many people would show up. But it gave a good example of where we're at in the country. There are millions of people out there that want to see somebody with a logical, rational plan of action that they can jump in behind on to fix this country. I believe there's millions sitting out there. All we have to do as men, as the guys in the front lines at the trenches, we have to decide what direction to go in and how to get to make our goals, if that makes sense.
Here,
does
here.
That make sense?
Here, here. Here, here. Yes, sir.
100%. 100%, man. Just moves have to be made, and the rest will follow. I think when the time comes, when we make it, because like I said before, if guys like you stand up, gentlemen like you up at Tampa, I put it on. You know, you're my hope for the day that I won't have to feel like I gotta hide or I gotta run around in anonymity. I hate that. I hate that. It's terrible that we have to do that. And the
hey,
only
I
hope
used to do that.
That's
I
not
going to
happen.
That. And I had a couple of visits from the Men in Black. The first one was a little scary. Second one was, okay, now you're pissing me off. And the third one is, now I'm pissed off. I told them. I said, you know where I'm at. And I said, you need a good man when the shit hits the fan? You know where I'm at. Come get me. Bring me a leather wallet with some type of credential in it, and I will join you if I feel that you are the right. But I don't hide out anymore, Jay, and that doesn't mean I flaunt myself, but I'm sick of this. And just like Dan said, and I tell even my retired guys, you know, hey Jim, you know, you're doing a great job, and you're our megaphone, and we stand behind you, because if I say too much, I may lose my pension. And just like Dan said, and Dan and I have discussed on and off air, there's not going to be a pension. And frankly, the 401ks are dead. The pension funds are dead. They're tied up in mortgage-backed securities, and that's in my real job wheelhouse. I'm helping people, probably two new people a week, try to get their money moved out of a 401k that's dead into something that at least we can transfer it and then get something out of it. But at the end of the day, that fire extinguisher that you think is hanging on the wall is going to put out the fire, it's dead. It's dead, and very little chance of recharging it unless we, the men of this country, and I'm going to disclaim this. I'm not inciting violence. I'm not inciting treason. I'm not inciting overthrowing any of this crap. I'm sick of hearing that. I'm sick and tired of watching the very country that I loved, that took care of me as a United States citizen. And I've never taken a dime out of any kind of program, welfare, you know, I paid my student loan back, I'm highly educated, I paid my loan back through my own work, I own my house, I'm debt-free by design, and I really don't have anything to lose. I really don't, and I mean that as a man, not as a hopeless. I don't care. Listen to me. Out there, people. Bank versus UTV, You know, we received a message from Ustream that come August 1st, they're going to, and here was their bullshit. Due to a change in our business plan, blah, 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 blah. Well, okay, with my background, we will have by the end of next week, or we can get rid of Ustream. I'm going to have not only my own channel on my own servers, but I can give people like Dan and Doc in Texas and these other people, they can come in, plug into my studio from their computers and broadcast out. And guess what, gentlemen and ladies? There's not a goddamn thing, excuse me, Lord, on Sunday, that anybody can do about it. They can't shut us up. Now, my ISP, they could. But then they're in for a world of hurt on lawsuits, because as long as I'm not doing anything illegal with my packets, they should be agnostic to what kind of data packets I'm putting out. I paid dearly for 3 ISP quality backbones in this facility, and Ustream was the only weak link. And they have finally figured out after 4 years. Yesterday was my 4-year anniversary of nearly 24/7. I've never missed a day. And not to brag, but I had just under 92,000 unique views in 4 years. What does that tell you guys? Anyway, I kind of said a lot there, and then I'll go back to putting my muzzle back on. But it's go time, ladies and gentlemen. And if you think that you're jeopardizing your pension or your safety by not saying anything, you're probably right, but that's a short-lived fear that you need to get rid of. And by the way, fear is false evidence appearing real. And with that, gentlemen, I yield.
Well, good point.
I just real quick want to say thank you for doing it. And that's what an elder does. That's what the elders of the movement does. Harold Covington and Alex Lindo, those guys, they go out of their way. They say it. They go, I'm here to be up front to have tomatoes and shit. I'm here to take that shit. I will come over, and I'll be the one out there in front until we can make it time for you not to feel like you have to hide anymore. And that's what a good elder – that's awesome. That's exactly what we need. And strategically, that's the perfect thing, is to build up something like, everybody's screaming for it. Everybody's being censored, and that's how everything's getting communicated. You know, people would run to it if there was a YouTube or a program similar to YouTube out there that they could use that we controlled. It wasn't their ghetto that they locked us in. It was our area, and it would make the enemy nuts. So that's awesome.
Well, the Lord intervened. I've been threatening for 2 years now to get off Ustream, but frankly, Ustream is a very reliable forum versus YouTube, and of course I've never streamed on Facebook, nor will I ever, but getting that letter was the hand of God saying, he woke me up at 3:00 in the morning, he said, Jimmy, you need to build your RTMP servers and you need to go check your tire pressure. Come on, guys, that was funny.
I was just going to say, what the hell does tire pressure have to do with building a video studio?
It was Sam Kinison. That was funny. But you know what? I'll tell you what.
I've talked.
Yeah. Yeah. He was just like Dan said. It's like, Jim, it's time to wake up and check your tire pressure. But in a sense, it is. The tire pressure is the health of our country, just like the health of our tires. And not to sound corny, but Jay's right. And, Jay, I respect you for keeping some anonymity. I do. But I tell you what, and I'm not pounding my chest here, I have no fear. I'm not doing a damn thing wrong. And I've got some pretty good people that are watching over me, to include our Father above, that has pushed me into what has evolved here in the last 5 days. I mean, I amazed myself. And I've taken a little break here to do this call with you guys. And once again, Dan, thanks for the invite. This is healthy, but I am in feverishly, and by the end of this coming week, I will be totally off Ustream. and I will definitely, and I don't want your money, but I will provide a way that you can, if you want to go on camera, you want to use your microphone, you can broadcast right here to Tampa, and then I'll have a player in a website that people can come and not only just hear us, but maybe even see us. And that's up to each individual. People are camera shy. But at the end of the day, I am just so excited to be able to break the chains away from any third party that is going to control me in getting this message out. And hopefully we can attract some young folks. And I agree with Dan. You know, if you're in your teens up into your early 30s, you need to come talk to the men, because I'll tell you what, I'm the man I am today because I had that polish and that mentoring in my younger days. And with that, I yield.
Well, good points. And again, you know, we're taking suggestions from anybody and everybody, and we're looking forward to Father giving us some guidance in this area. But we want to go forward with not only broadcasting the truth and waking our people up, which is very, very important, but we also want communities. I'm still getting contacted constantly by people that want to leave where they're at. They're in some kind of a metropolitan area or some Jew-infested part of the country or some alien-infested part of the country, and but mostly they want to be around fellow patriots and fellow believers. They want to be with their own kind, which is a natural response. I mean, that's natural. What we're living today is unnatural by the force of law. And that's, of course, Jewish. Anytime you force somebody to do something that's unnatural, that's a Talmud concept. So they want to do that. So any suggestions, any opportunities, or any kind of signaling or whatever as far as to build a community, we want to start with one, and then we'll build them all over the place. But put a community together, even if it's tiny houses. Who the hell cares? Even if it's campers and trailers, I mean, let's put something together somewhere and put in an organic farm and have clean water and generate our own electricity and be off the grid and do things old-fashioned way and do like the Amish up in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. They had a sign when I drove up there many years ago that had a big old sign by the highway that said, "We will teach you the Amish ways." I thought, wow, isn't that cool? Basically, we'll teach you how to survive, because I'm going to tell you something. The Amish aren't going to change their lifestyle one bit if the Federal Reserve goes away. They won't change their lifestyle one bit if Washington, D.C. disappears. They Amen. Won't change, the U.S. dollar could go away as our reserve currency, and guess what? The Amish community is going to keep right on trucking. So,
well, Dave, to your point, my parents were both from Pennsylvania, and I agree, and the Amish, Dave doesn't live here anymore, Jim. Dan, the Amish have the same backbone that we have, and my tagline on my show is educating by sharing. I love to teach, and if someone can bear with my long-winded education, they will walk away knowing how to do something, whether it's writing basic programming or setting up systems or whatever, whatever, whatever. But the Amish have always, I mean, look at their health. They don't dick around with pharmaceuticals. Their craftsmanship is beyond pride. They're wood craftsmen, and the fact that they're willing to teach anyone that's willing to listen is exactly the feeling I get from this group, just like I'm saying. Once I get this thing built, it is open. Now, I'm not going to just let anybody in because, of course, we'll get the trolls. But, Dan, you're in. Others that are on YouTube and getting censored, we're going to be able to handle a lot, and we're going to become the next NBC, and I don't want a damn dime. I just took my wallet out this past week, and I won't say how much, but it was a significant amount. It was time, it's working in beta, and I cannot wait to open the door, and how do we vet these people, Dan? I'll get with you off air on that, but you're definitely in. Jay, even if we want to do these phone conversations, my friend Marty, my friend Ron up in Ocala, which we've been in front of their county council for years, up their rear ends, we're going to have a forum here. And if you want to put in a little background music from Steely Dan, YouTube's not going to quash us. I don't think Steely Dan could give a rat's ass if we put a little teaser music in by then. And nothing is monetized. So it's not like I'm doing it for clickbait or we're doing it for clickbait or doing it for money. You'll never find a donate button on any of my sites, any of my productions, any of my shows. Because the good Lord above has directed me to do this and has made it possible for me to do this on my allowance, my weekly allowance that I get from Mom and Dad, God rest their souls.
I mean, what you're describing is something that pro-whites had been fantasizing about since the 70s. Imagine a community of good moral Christian, good moral Christian white people backed up with its own media, a way to get our information out to the masses on more ways than just the internet. It's two elements to come together to make a hell of a big fire. It's
okay,
what everybody's been asking for. As a matter of fact,
well, real quick, just one of my ideas is I'm gonna try this, and Dan, I need some input, but I'm just thinking maybe what I'll do is just leave it open on a Saturday. So anybody, just let it run. There might be dead air, and I'll keep an eye on how it's going, but just let anybody come in and take the podium, take the lectern, take the microphone, come in and say something. It might be negative. It might be positive, but just have like open mic Saturday, say from 9 a.m. to 12 or 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. And wouldn't it be interesting to see who actually takes advantage of that and get a chance to hear? There might not be a moderator in. It's just, hi, my name is Fred. I'm from Patuxent, Iowa, and blah, 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 blah. And thank you for the microphone. And go, what do you think of that, Dan? Do you think that might be something fun to try?
Yeah, it's one of those things that I believe that we put it into action. And if it's favorable with the Father, he blesses it. And if it's the wrong direction, he gives you a slight tap with a 2x4 up beside the head and says, go a different way. So I got a good vibe as you were describing it. I think, because really, why has this little radio station I'm on for nearly 19 years, why has it been successful? Because it's operated under that same principle. I ask
Amen.
People to come on
Amen.
As a guest because they could not get their voice heard on any other media. So anybody that had a story that was being suppressed by the Jew media and they wanted the truth to come out, then this was the program I said, come on. Is all my only criteria ever in 19 years has been, you got to tell the truth. If you're coming on here
well,
to scam us.
That's why our Father brought us together, Dan. No
yeah.
doubt. Go ahead,
and I'm
sorry. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, friggin', if you had video capability, too, imagine, because I've thought about this before. Me and James used to talk about it, because every day, every month, you could look and find where police officers or politicians or just everyday people are fired or removed from their job or attacked for some, chalked up racial reason that you can't trust what the mainstream media is saying. We always used to say, we're like, it's too bad we didn't have like a mobile crew to run around, or we didn't have money to pay someone like Sinead McCarthy and Kyle Hunt from Renegade, because they have the equipment, they know how to do this, to run around and go and find all these people that were victimized for these racial reasons and let them actually give their true story from a source they could trust. And, imagine if we did that through the week, and then at the end of the week at a certain time on that Saturday, it would be this, maybe it was an hour long, half hour long, 45 minutes, whatever footage, whatever news stories were out where people could go. They knew it's like, hey, at the end of the week on Saturday, I'm tuning into this because I'll get to see the non-biased vision of what you know, what stories broke out throughout the state on that Saturday. I think the potential for it is endless, and people would run to it. People would run to it, especially even
though
everybody on YouTube.
It's funny you say that, because one of my and I have not abandoned this, but there were pieces that needed to be put in, and this is the last piece to put in. But my dream is to get myself a decent-sized motorhome, wire it for sound, and, you know, go into these cities, go in, you know, and if I really had the time and I had the pieces in place, I would bird dog this 20-city tour with my motorhome and set up and not really be like Alex Jones and go in and stir shit up, but I would go in there and bird dog them to negate through intelligence their message. But my idea is just to leave an open phone line for 3 hours, 2 hours, I don't know. And, Jay, you nailed it. If somebody just got fired or disgruntled and they want to pick up the telephone and just call in, and they don't have to say who they are if they don't want to. And we've had video capabilities on, even when I started Hut Radio back in 2009, we have video capabilities, and we will have. So you can get on your laptop, punch in with a username and password, and come on, and Dan can do a show. Hey, Jim, I need the studio for 2 hours on Sunday. Is it open? You got it, Dan. You want me there? Yeah, it'd be nice, Jim, but you don't have to be. All right, Dan, here's what you do. Boom, done.
Wow, that's pretty good. Hey, I wanted to ask you guys something. In conjunction with what we're talking about here, this is perfect and we need to go forward with it. We talked about a community concept, and it could start out small. It doesn't have to be a whole county or state yet, but eventually it will be. What if we, and you know, it's biblical to ask Father to give us a fleece, okay? You know the Bible story about the fleece that was put on the ground, and he said, I want the water on the opposite side of the fleece than what would normally be there, just to know that this is what you want me to do. What if our fleece about our community is that we find a constitutional sheriff in a county that will deputize the men? Is that...
Oh, hell.
You and I talked about that, and I have that in work right here in my jurisdiction.
Okay.
That's a great idea, yes.
That's my personal fleece. When I find a sheriff with enough guts to take a stand, and if I can get men to move to that county, and we don't actually have to live in that county, by the way, to be deputized, but I would like to see a number of us actually move to that county and establish a chapel and community, and he's willing to deputize us. That would be a fleece to me. But that's from above, and that means that's our focal point. And as many men as can possibly get there and build this community where we're going to do everything according to the book. And I think you all know what I mean by the book. Everything will be done by the book. You know, this whole Jewish upside-down world, it can go to hell. But in our community...
That's what I told the men in black. I said, you know where I'm at. You want my help, all you have to do is bring me a leather wallet with some type of metal credential enclosed therein, and you'll have your man. And that's exactly what I'm hearing you say, Dan.
Yeah, as deputies, we're there for our protection as well as to support the sheriff and his men. We are a standing citizen army for our own self-defense, but also to keep peace in the community and to assist the county if they need extra manpower. That's
Amen.
What we're there for.
Amen. That's no different than the old program, the Citizen Watch Group, which I used to belong to, which is dismantled now. But, you know, I keep an eye on my little community, Dan. I know who comes in, who goes out. I've got cameras. I'll go out and confront them. I've done that live on air. But you're right. And see, that therein lies what they're afraid of, is our assimilation. And then we turn around and we get intimidated by, well, you know, it's treasonous to do this, that, and the other. And I'm so sick of that. And I'm also so sick of the, well, it's in the interest of Homeland Security, or it's the interest of, you know, this is secret because it's in the interest of, you know, the safety of the United States. You know what? I call bullshit on all that.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, you know whose safety that they're concerned with is the synagogue and the Talmud thumper.
Sure.
That's
sure.
The only safety that they're concerned with.
Well, let me ask you this, real quick. Kind of throw in a little bit of food coloring into the bread. We don't have to get on this yet, but what do you guys think about the fact that they are so scared right now? My theory is they're going to do something big, and it would be so easy to put a couple of charges up there in Colorado and Wyoming and get some volcanic activity going there. It would also be very easy for them to really upset the Canary Islands, which could devastate Florida. But what do you think about this Trump visit with North Korea? Dan, can I throw that in there? Because I personally think it's relevant, and I think it's to the point. And if Trump is successful, and see, I still think it's all a game, but do you think that the rats are really going to do a Hail Mary, as Dan and I have talked about, and really create a false flag event that will dwarf 9/11?
That's what they want to do. That's what they want to do. Whether they'll actually accomplish it is up to the white hats and the good people of this earth. If the good people stand up and do the right thing, they're not going to accomplish it. My own personal belief, and then we can get Jay's opinion on it, but my own personal belief is that tomorrow is supposed to be a significant day, by the way, the 11th, and then also the 12th, then also the 14th. So we're going to know within days, we're going to know if all this stuff about the good military and the good intelligence agencies is all a bunch of bullshit, or is it for real? So we don't have long to wait. And I believe that every man of conscience should be ready for either scenario. We should be ready to assist. If there are good guys and are trying to take this bad system down, then we're here for them, just like we are for the sheriff at the county level. If it turns out that they're lying and they're playing us, now we have to move forward with the things that we're talking about at lightning speed.
I can throw some light on. I get into looking at the details of what's going on. And presently right now, I can't see them pulling off false flag because we're so disillusioned right now. Here's the thing. A guy that's been pushing 9/11 for a long time, Ryan Dawson, he does great research. He's not real racially aware, but he does impeccable research on a lot of stuff. He put a video out the other day, and this is a guy that's been after 9/11 since the early 2000s, and it was very funny. He was yelling at people in the truth community because he focuses on the Israeli involvement. You know, he's not interested in how the buildings fell and explosives and planes. He tries to avoid that because he realizes what matters when it comes to determining a crime is who gained and who lost. And a lot of his research was based on everybody that died that day lost, and everybody that lived gained. And he broke it down from there, and he discovered all the elements with the Israelis involved, the taking out of the friggin' insurance policies on the Twin Tower buildings, all the people that didn't show up, all the ones that did show up and why they were there. And he really broke it down well, and he's mad at the truther community because he's like, you guys that keep wanting to talk about this Alex Jones, planes didn't hit the building and missiles and all this other stuff, he says it's killing us, you know. And what I thought was funny about it is I'm like, you know, 15 years ago, you'd have been hard-pressed to find somebody from the outside community that wanted to admit that they were into 9/11 truth or wanted to admit that they did not believe the government story. Well, today, you would have, even among the normies, you'll have a hard time finding somebody that's willing to say, oh, yeah, I believe the government story on how the buildings fell. Nobody believes that. And it's a sign of the times. It's a sign of the rising of the tides of the opinion. And you know, when I look at that, I realize that if they could set off a nuclear weapon in New York, and they would not be able to get the Patriot flag waving, you know, march our sons and daughters off the war, because they would have to institute a draft. If they expand the military anymore, they already can't fill their quotas. They're giving guys $15,000-$20,000 sign-on bonuses to continue to stay, because the military cannot fill its ranks. It can't. So if it gets expanded in any way where more troops are required, they're going to have to launch a draft. And if they launch a draft, yeah, they might get the first batch to show up, but about time a couple of thousand of those boys come back in caskets, and it starts really costing the American people, every family, like it was in Nam, like a real war's going on where every family's being affected. Well, just like the left has sanctuary cities, you watch. There'll be counties where sheriffs will say, you know what? I'm not sending my sons and daughters off to war, and you're going to have sanctuary cities. Well, guess what? This is a sanctuary county, and anybody that does not want to freaking go fight a war for Israel that's definitely not in our interest can come to my county. The draft dodging within the state will become a national pastime. It'll be an epidemic. And I think the enemy knows this. So I don't think they're going to be able to pull a false flag, but they've painted themselves into a corner with this Syria thing. And then you look at Russia. You know, this is a real trouble, because there's a lot of people pushing this Putin, Russia, you know, Putin is the man, and Russia is the, you know, the potential white, you know, he's on our side, which is a bunch of crap. Putin has got his head so far up the enemy's butt and Netanyahu's butt, it's Trump. But what's scary about it is right now they have, the enemy has pissed off so many white Europeans that they would almost see a Russian invasion as like liberators. They would almost be happy. They would be like, oh, good, get rid of these fucking leftists.
Yeah, I agree.
I see that as potentially
quick, Jay,
dangerous. Okay.
Can I just throw a little teaser in there? See, I've done a lot of research on the 9/11 issue, and I really keep my eyes on Building 7. All this other laser emulation of planes, and they were military planes, that may or may not be, I don't know. But what I do know for sure is Building 7 didn't just say, oh, my two brothers are crashing, so I'm going to crash too. And the same with Cody, which was how Dan and others have come to my channel, and we've all coagulated, is, you know, the Maher building in Oklahoma and all that. But at the end of the day, the question I wanted to ask you, Jay, and we know what was in Building 7, but how in the world did Building 7 just all of a sudden decide it was going to fall on its own footprint? I mean, that one question alone holds the proof that 9/11 was a orchestrated event. By whom? I don't know for sure. I can speculate and conjecture. But 7 came down all by its lonely little self, and so many people forget that.
Well, here's the thing. I can offer who was behind it without conjecture, 100%. Are you aware of the Israelis that were arrested the day after 9/11? What about the ones that – these were Israeli Mossad agents were arrested the day after 9/11. One of them was in a van that had residue of explosives. The other one was caught on the George Washington Bridge, packed full of explosives. They also found out that these Israeli Mossad agents that were arrested, and this was on Fox News, they actually put it on the news, these ones that were arrested were also seen on 9/11 as the planes were hitting the buildings on the Jersey side of the river, on top of a van with cameras set up, flicking lighters and dancing around in a circle as the planes were hitting. A lady called this into the police. This is all police reports. You can actually hear the dispatches as the officers are on the radio going, yeah, these guys are from a foreign country. As a matter of fact, and this is a classic secret agent or CIA or covert agent operator, they'll usually have a decoy vehicle. This is what the decoy truck that they had out, the decoy truck had a mural on the side of it of a plane crashing into one of the Twin Towers. I'm not making that up. The photographs that they got from the cameras that were in their truck of them taking the photographs of the building as they were hit, they're in the Miami evidence locker right now. And that's my bet. Dude, they're 100% involved with it, and that's right there, the Israelis. As a matter of fact, when they arrested the first one, the Israeli got out of the van. This is what he says to the cops. The cops just pulled this vehicle over. It's suspicious. They pull this vehicle over. These two guys get out from foreign language. The first thing they say to the cops is, we're not your enemy. The Palestinians are your enemy. But, you know, we're not your enemy. Wow. I mean, think about it. And then under interrogation, and then you can go on YouTube, and here's the thing. Michael Chertoff stepped in, and none of these guys were arrested. Within a month, they were all deported back to Israel. No more media attention. We need to go into that. We're not shocked by that. We know exactly why that is. And they did this, and here's the thing. The van full of explosives on the George Washington Bridge, the original attack in 1993, that was the plan. They were supposed to blow up the Holland Tunnel, the George Washington Bridge, and one of the towers. And the same guy that was involved in that was related to two other guys that were posing, you know, they're freaking, you know, double agents. They were connected with these guys. They were running Mossad-owned moving companies. One of them was called Urban Moving Companies, Urban Moving Company. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to give credit where credit's due. If you go online and you just type in War by Deception by Ryan Dawson, and you can see the first two. The whole video is 9 hours. I've watched it multiple times. It's just good to have all these facts. If you watch those 2 hours, it'll expand everything you understand. And I get where he's coming from. He doesn't, you know, he pays attention to the little bit about the way Building 7 come down. But I understood what he was getting at. It's kind of like if somebody breaks into your house. Imagine if the police showed up, breaks into your house, and steals all your important stuff. Steals documents, jewelry, all your great stuff. But, you know, and then later on the police come back and go, well, our investigation's done. We didn't find anything. And you say, well, I'd like a copy of the report. You read the report and you realize that there was almost no looking into your loss. There was no checking into the things that were stolen. They didn't do anything to look into the things that were stolen, your loss, and who may have gained from your loss. All they did was spend 5 pages talking about what type of crowbar they used and how the cracks accumulated on the door while they were breaking into your house. And that's his point when he gets on and he says it's what's important is who lost and who gained. And that is important, is who, and he breaks it down totally by that, because there's a lot more stuff that I haven't mentioned, but it'll blow your mind. So we know who did it, and this is the third time. The first two times they couldn't do it. They tried to sucker us into a false flag war in the Middle East with the Lavan affair in the 1950s, and once again, see, the Israelis are really crappy at doing military maneuvers. They kind of suck as a military force, and the Mossad is incompetent as hell. And they do a lot of stupid stuff. So in the Lavan affair, the bomb blew up in the Jewish guy's pocket on the way to the freaking hotel they were trying to blow up. And then the USS Liberty, most of us know about that. Well, let's remove our emotional thoughts. Let's think about it. Two jets, American-made jets, that the Israelis were hitting this with rockets, machine guns. Then they hit it with two torpedoes, torpedo boats, machine guns. They attacked this unarmed ship for, God, I think it was at least 4 to 5 hours and could not sink it. 4 to 5 hours on an unarmed ship, and they could not sink it with all the technology they hit it with. And because of those guys were able to freaking get out of there, but that's so obvious that that was a false flag attack. And then once again, look at 9/11 was just the third time's the charm. They actually got it through. They were able to do it. but they were still like the Keystone Cops running around while they do it. They're out there in front of a bunch of people taking photographs of the building, dancing, flicking lighters. Their decoy truck has a mural of a plane hitting the building on the side. That's just stupidity. And all of them got caught, and all of them folded.
With it right there in front of us. So let me ask you this, Jay. How does the Las Vegas event fit into this, in your opinion? And Dan, I don't mean to take your show over, but this is very compelling conversation. But how do you see Las Vegas in the mix here, if at all, Jay?
Well, Las Vegas is real strange. I'll try to keep this simple, and I appreciate Pastor Dan letting me ramble on like this. You know, the whole gun control thing is like it gets into a lot of sticky stuff, but I'll tell you this. What happens every time there's a mass shooting? They run around and talk about gun control. Well, every time they talk about gun control, what do? We run out and buy a bunch of guns and ammo. Well, somebody's making money off of that. Well, let's look at, there's a criteria for being a mass shooting, and this is how it went. Under Reagan, I think there was like 5 mass shootings. Under Bush 1, there was like 8. Under Clinton, there was like 17 or 20. Under Bush 2, the number actually went down. There was like only 15 or 14. Under Obama, there were nearly 225 mass shootings. Coincidentally, the gun companies had their biggest windfall in the history of gun companies. They made more money under the Obama administration than ever before. Okay. Now all that, their stocks skyrocketed. I did send you a doc. You go on Renegade Tribune actually, and there's a document that talks it and outlines all of this. And the gun companies made tons of money. And also, they found out that New York, California, Connecticut, all these anti-gun states had wrapped all of their pension funds, their public pension funds were for going bankrupt because all the white people are leaving and they're importing all these people that live off the dole. So their pension funds were going bankrupt. Well, in 2008, all of a sudden out of nowhere, they put all of their freaking pension funds into these gun stocks. And at that time, in 2008, gun stocks were actually some of the lowest they were in history. And then out of nowhere, Obama comes in and there's all these mass shootings and the gun companies made a ton of money. Well, in reality, all of the gun companies at that time were owned by two corporations. One of them was called London of Virginia and the other one was called Cerberus International. Funding. I can't remember the last part of it. But anyway, that was owned by a Jewish gentleman whose name I can't think of off the top of my head. However, he's Trump's security advisor right now. And what happened after Trump got in? Gun prices plummeted. What happened after all these shootings? Gun prices go up. And I'm not saying that it was just a ploy on Vegas to bring gun prices up. There's a, you know, me and James talked about, there's a lot of evidence to show that that guy, like something went wrong there. Something went wrong. I do believe that security guard that was on Ellen DeGeneres was supposed to take the fall for that. He was supposed to get shot. I think that Pollard guy figured out what was going on and started trying to shoot him up. That's a wild theory. I can't back up with much. All I know is, yeah, these shootings are somewhat staged. I'm not one of these guys that say nobody died, but these shootings are, you know, for shootings to go up under Obama, 225 compared to, like, you know, less than 30 for all the others, and all the gun companies to make all this money, and all the freaking public pensions of some of the most anti-gun states were keeping their pensions afloat, making money off all these gun stocks. That's not a coincidence. There's something going on there. Some kind of collusion was happening there. So as far as the Vegas thing, to me, that's like an operation that went wrong. That was something the CIA, and they were putting it together for something, and something went south on them. Something went wrong. I don't know what, and we won't know until we get access to all their files. But that's my thoughts on Vegas. Something went wrong. It was an op that did not go as planned.
Yeah, I agree with that. Let me ask you guys real quick. You know, we're already into an hour and a half. Man, it goes by fast. But I wanted to ask you real quick. You know, earlier we talked about the fact, according to QAnon and other researchers, I don't take Q by itself. I always add it to other researchers. But there's a lot of people saying that starting tomorrow, there's supposed to be some big stuff. And, you know, it differs what they think it is. But supposedly, anyway, it could be the unsealing of all those indictments. It could be the announcement about the new currency and new gold reserve that's going to be worldwide, because everybody knows the U.S. dollar is on its way out. So, you know, what's your opinion over the next 4 days with all this stuff going on? Just in relation, do you think it's going to be good, or is this going to be the hammer coming down and it's going to be time to get the helmets and the rifles and get out in the trenches? Do you have a gut feeling for it?
I'll pick the latter, Dan, and I'll be brief. I have heard for many months that June 11th through Flag Day, June 14th, which I think is Mr. Trump's birthday, if my information is correct, and will indictments come down? We know, or we have heard, and we have reasonable suspicion that there are several hundreds of indictments pending, but the mere fact that those that are going to be indicted probably know, I pick the latter, Dan. And Dan, I've been saying this for 2-3 years on my show. It's time to rip the Band-Aid off the knee, all the pine tar and all the layers of this, that, and the other. Open up the wound. It's going to hurt, but clean out the wound and begin to let our knee heal. And I'm not making conjecture to wounded knee, but it kind of does ring true. And that's where we, the men of our communities, need to be ready. We need to have food stored. We need to be ready for all kinds of things, because I think that is going to be the cleansing. And unfortunately, there is going to be blood. The Tree of Liberty does need to be fed. I hope it's minimal. But to give you the short answer, I think that if things do get unfurled tomorrow in the next couple days, I think it's time that we watch our backs and, frankly, stay locked and loaded. It's not going to be pretty if my assumptions are true. Jay, what do you think?
Well, I've made no secrets of how I feel about it. I've come to the determination a long time ago that the enemy wastes our time. The enemy is behind a lot of these things like QAnon and whatnot, because they like to tease white people with this idea that the enemy is going to do something to destabilize their own system. That's why we get so caught up in end times prophecies and volcanoes going off and zombie apocalypses and everything, because in a weird way, we kind of want them to do it, because if they destabilize the system, that would give us a chance to fight back. Because no rebellion, no fighting back ever happens in a country unless the guys involved in it don't get caught, don't get arrested and prosecuted and have their property taken away and thrown in holes, government holes off in Colorado like Victorville or something like that. And that's just rebellious movements throughout. I can't see what, because the enemy controls the court systems and they control the police. And that's how you control white people. We're not afraid to die. We'll die for stupid reasons. We'll die for fun. I don't see any other race bungee jumping out of planes or tying trash bag wings to their arms and going, hey, jumping out of a plane wasn't good enough. I got an idea. Let's hook these things so we can fly and hover across the friggin' sky for a little while before we pull the chute. No, we do that.
I've done some stupid shit in my life, but I'm not going to jump out of a perfectly good aircraft. I'm sorry.
but I'm just saying, white people, so it's not death, but it's prison we feel. And it's a fear of enslavement. That's what we fear. Modern-day prisons is enslavement, and that's what we fear. And that's how they control us. So I can't see them destabilizing their own systems, but they like to tease us with it because it makes the guys that are afraid to stick their head up and afraid to risk anything, it makes them sit down. It makes them sit down because their hope is that at some point this massive rebellion will happen and they can kind of blend in with the crowd like they're doing now. And if everybody's rebelling, well, nobody can be in trouble for it. It's It's frustrating, but it's just that's kind of the way it is. And I've come to the conclusion that if we want justice, if we want these people arrested and prosecuted for the crimes that they've committed, and they've committed a lot of crimes, we're going to have to do it. We will have to do it. We will have to drag them kicking and screaming from their freaking cubicles. That's the if we want justice, it's either we achieve it or it's not going to happen.
Well, see,
because I don't see them policing themselves.
Deputized, because I am not going to go do that unless I have the blessing of some type of protection called being deputized, and that's where the sheriff and even the thugs that came here. Actually, the one guy was cool, and the other guy was, you know, he was just a joke. But at the end of the day, you nailed it. And if you really look at the big picture in one of my kaleidoscopes, it almost seems like their plan is to start social unrest, which will then bring in Hillary's adult fun camps, which we know are FEMA camps, and create the true martial law, if you will, to where they're coming door to door to round up our guns. And let me tell you something right here on air, and Dan, you're on mirrored on my show right now too, so there are other people listening. I will not ever succumb to the United Nations police, which you know is frickin' real. And I'm not making a threat here, but if you invade my private property and try to confiscate anything that I own, to include my guns, we're going to have a problem. Let me just leave it at that. And therein lies the time. And I think that might be another way of a false flag, if you will, for lack of a better term. These people are desperate, is my point. And they are sitting there thinking, while we're on air right now, as to how to best stir the shit up out there. Would you agree, Dan and Jay? They're trying to stir up some shit. So they'll either, you know, put a couple of little nuke charges up there in Colorado and Wyoming to get the fun going with the fault, or they'll set a depth charger in the Canary Islands, which will devastate Florida. I mean, that's already a ticking time bomb out there. I don't know how many people have looked into that, but all they need is some catastrophic event that will make 9/11 look like a frickin' kindergarten party. And therein lies the country's in peril. I'm talking deep peril. And to take the focus away. So with that, I think we do need to be very much on our high alerts in the coming week. And I just find it ironic that the Lord above has nudged me and put me on the same track to open up the microphone to anybody that wants it. And Dan, what's your feeling? Since you asked our opinion, what's your feeling on point A or point B? Do you think it's going to be the latter, or do you think it's going to be kicking the can down the road again, and we're going to do another show on Saturday next week and say, well, nothing happened?
Well, yeah, there's always that danger, obviously, because that's one of the sticking points that so many people have said. You know, this person has been saying this for 10 years, nothing happened. Of course, the prophets were all accused of the same thing. Oh, you told us that there'd be a flood. It hasn't showed up yet. Well, yeah, but when the raindrops start coming down, it's too late. So, you know, here's what I tell everybody that's been asking me. There's no way to know 100% what the hell's going on, because we're not sitting in the boardrooms. We're not sitting in the super secret little cliques that the big movers and shakers are having. We're not privy to all that. And as far as I know, there's no real trustworthy source sitting close to it to talk to us. People say Q is for real. Well, has Q told us the truth about some things? Yeah. Is it 100% true? Not necessarily. But here again, it's so easy to play us. There's so much money and so much power involved here. It's easy to play us. But at the same time, are we not Yahweh's children? Are we not told through the scriptures that the days at the end of the age would be exactly as we're seeing them? Were we not told that at one point it's the merchants and the government leaders who are weeping and wailing as Babylon burns? Revelation tells us that very clearly. It doesn't say we are weeping and wailing. It's the merchants. The Baltic Dry Index for shipping, overseas shipping, is the lowest it's ever been in history. The economic systems of the Western world are in absolute chaos.
Can I interject real quick, Dan? And I've said this to you off air and on air. Why is it that if everything's hunky-dory, unemployment rates are down, the economy is improving, a high rate of speed, the fake stock market, why did Sears close another 77 stores, folks? I mean, it's clear to see the smoke screen when us on the ground here, and again, I am so thankful that I have economic security the best I know, but I see even friends that are in their late 50s and early 60s that had productive 20 and 30 year tenures with their companies, they're jobless right now. And you know what, they're talented, Dan and Jay, but try to go find a job in an engineering capacity when you've got the Muslims that 26 years old coming into high tech. People need to look at the reality of their communities to get the economic pulse. Why are our pensions in trouble? Okay? And when I hear this bullshit about, and I'm not discrediting our president, but I also see the smoke screen. The economy has not improved. You just said it. The Baltic Dry and the GDP and the market are my three indicators. And I don't see anything good about it. And then, back to my question, and I'll yield, why is Sears, and why did Sears and Kmart join forces years ago? I think it was to be overthrown by Amazon and Walmart. And I think that in itself is economic espionage. How can the name Sears? If Sears just sold off Kenmore. Sears sold off their flagship product called Craftsman Tools, which I'm the proud owner of every tool they made. The pride. Now they're shit. Kenmore used to be a quality, just like Singer. Singer sewing machines. They still go under the quality name, but those things are pieces of shit made in Mexico now. I mean, come on, people. That is the economic indicator, and I know I kind of went off the track a little bit there, but it is so obvious what's going on, and it is so disturbing that we think we can't do anything about it, but then again, as soon as we speak up, without that wallet, I need a wallet delivered to my door now. And inside that wallet is not going to be money. It's going to be a badge of authority.
Jay?
You know, remember when we talked about permission slips?
Mm-hmm.
This is, and I'm not digging what you're saying at all, but this is something that I've noticed, and I've heard Harold Covington talk about this. Once again, I get this from an elder, and he's got to put and the late Bob Whitaker talked about this with his speech about Ditka. That's another thing that they've done to us. You know, in the 1950s, if there was something wrong that was happening, friggin' any man that saw a crime happening in front of him would go and involve himself in it, would stop it from happening. But through programs like Ditka, they have created this situation where everybody feels like they have to have a permission slip to get anything done. And that's not how we actually be in it.
Real quick sentence here. I fully agree with you, and I'm not asking or I'm not saying that I'm not going to do anything without said permission slip. At this point in time today on Sunday, June the 10th, I am. But if the shit hits the fan out there, I don't need no stinking badges, as they said in the movie Blazing Saddles. If the shit hits the fan, yeah.
And I agree wholeheartedly with you, and I would too, yeah. Right now, today, I wouldn't do anything without a permission slip in hand. I agree with you. I was mainly pointing out just what they've done to us, though, the insidiousness of their little plan and what they've been up to, and it also illustrates because that permission slip is the same thing that badge would create a situation, which is the same thing I said earlier, that the individuals going out and fighting against the evil would not be arrested and prosecuted by that same evil. For a rebellious action to happen, because the permission slip is permission to fight evil. It's permission to fight the evil before us. And they've created a situation where, yeah, you better have that permission slip to fight that evil right now, or because nobody else is going to help you, you'll be on your own. And you'll end up in some federal hole, like poor J. Edgar Steele ended up.
You know, us doing our shows is done without permission, which is back, I'm going to circle back. Our permission to do these shows has been free, except now with all the censoring on YouTube and all this other bullshit. And Ustream, they leave me alone, but, you know, it's against our business model, so we're going to be closing, you know, all you guys down that are transmitting 24/7, and it's for, you know, it's for our business model. And I'm with you, and your term permission slip is very interesting, very intriguing. So I do what I do with no permission. But if I stand up and leave my property with my weapon at my side and my tenacity, at this point in time today, I would need some way to not be arrested. But again, if the shit hits the fan tomorrow and Tuesday and it becomes just nuts out there, I don't need no stinking badge. I'm going to defend my friends, my community, my staff, and I think that's another reason our Father has brought us together. We're not in the same jurisdiction, or maybe we are. Maybe some of us are listening. That's okay, too. But Dan, if the shit hits the fan, you better get your ass to Tampa. Bring your guys. I got a place for you.
I have my bug out stuff ready.
Well, I would say that really we've come up with two plans. If the enemy destabilizes their system, great. They open the door, fine. That makes things real simple. If not, then the other aspect of the plan still gives us every opportunity we need. You're offering a media system, which is something you have to have a proper propaganda wing to fight the enemy. You have to, because the information battlefield, the information war, is where the enemy fights right now. That's the battlefield we have access to that we can fight on. And you're offering like tanks and an air force. It's what you're basically coming to guys that have been running around with whatever stuff we could take off the enemy, and you're showing up going, hey, man, I got airplanes, an airfield, and, some tank factories. We're like, God, never had that before, so it's a brilliant opportunity. Pastor Dan's offering the idea of a community, gathering people together. We start showing through the propaganda wing that, yeah, we're here, we're pro-white, and we're gathering in an area, and we're going to stop all these problems one way or another. More will come. When enough comes, we could get our sheriff in place.
To both of you, but I also will be broadcasting on ham radio, and we'll get to that if Pastor Dan has a little bit of time later. Because if they close down our internet, I fully plan, and I have already had this in work, that we will be able to communicate on ham. I just want to throw that out there, Jay. Go ahead, sir. Sorry to interrupt.
No, it's okay, and that's brilliant, and that's excellent. What I'm saying is we get enough people together. We elect a constitutional sheriff. He goes around, deputizes everybody. Yeah, and then once we reach that point, how we can actually make a move against the enemy in a way that they couldn't hit us back. Imagine if we had enough people, we control the county, and we got together and we said, you know what, we have a moral problem with continuing to send income taxes to a government that, well, think of a thousand reasons, but one, for example, is killing our soldiers 225% better than the enemy can. The enemy's only killed about 30,000 U.S. troops since the start of 9/11. However, nearly 200,000 have killed themselves by their own hands since they've come back. So our own enemy, our own government, through their training of our soldiers, is better at getting them killed than the enemy is. Well, we could, as a community, come together and say, well, as a county, we feel that it would be morally reprehensible for us to continue to send you money so you can fund this murder program of our own sons and daughters. So we're going to declare our county an income tax-free zone. And, you know, if you do business in our county, you freaking get out of paycheck, we're not paying any more income tax. We'll still give you Social Security and Medicare, and we'll work out a little balance. But, yeah, private citizens, no more income tax. And if you try to send IRS agents in to do anything about it, not only will you have to deal with the local sheriff and his guys, but the whole town will show up to fight with you. The enemy would be caught off guard. They wouldn't know what to do about that. That would be a real mess for them.
Well, that's a good reverse engineer on the Sanctuary City. Did you see the video where the Philadelphia mayor and his assistant were doing the happy dance and in high fives? It came out a couple of days ago about they're a Sanctuary City. See, and you know what, Jay, you men sharpen men, as it states in the Bible in a very indirect way, and you just gave me the idea of reverse engineering. In other words, use their bullshit against them. And that's what you're proposing, and I fully am on board. It's like, okay, all right, you want to be a Sanctuary City, you want to be unconstitutional, well, guess what? Guess what? And I'll leave it at that. Dan, what do you think? I mean, I'm loving this call. Thanks for the invite. This has been a very refreshing. Are you limited to 2 hours, Dan, or can you go over?
Nope, not limited in any way. I think it's a good call as well. Anytime the men get together and start comparing notes and try to come up with a battle plan, I think it's good. I think the ideas that Jay's talking about, and certainly I agree with Jay with what he said about you, offering what you're offering is like, wow, we've been down here fighting the enemy with 22 rifles, and somebody's come along and said, I've got some RPGs and some machine guns. Are you interested? Hell yeah. So
have you seen the Dale Carnegie cartoon? And, you know, back in the 80s, I didn't go through the entire Dale Carnegie course, but I did go through some. And one cartoon that stands out, and Dan, I'll send it to you, but it is a cartoon. It's a one-frame cartoon, and it's a salesman trying to sell machine guns with the rounds to an Indian chief. And in the background, all the Indians have their bows and arrows, and the chief has got his arms crossed, and the caption is, I don't have time to see a silly salesman right now. I have a war to fight. And what I took from that, if you didn't get it from my description, is this guy's got the magic weapon, and the chief didn't want to spend any time on looking into this machine gun because he has a war to fight, and the picture has all his Indians with their quills, their bow and arrows, and their quills full of arrows. And this isn't me. This is our Father above that whacked me upside the head in 2007 and keeps whacking me upside the head. And even though I've been threatening, I mean that in a funny way, to get off Ustream, Ustream sent me an email that said, Jim, you have two options. You can give up your passion for your show, which is information, you know, educating by sharing, or you can sit your ass down in that chair, use the resources that I've been given, and figure out a way to get rid of them and stay on air. And Dan, I'll tell you what, man, it came to me about 3 days ago, and I am just, wow. Wow. To be in this chair and to be amongst you guys this morning on this show. And I mean that as a humble citizen or servant to our Father. Hey, you know what? If you don't use the flour and whatever you have, the yeast to make a loaf of bread, then shame on you. And that's been my drive here.
Yep. I agree. Every opportunity and every tool that the Father gives us, we should use to our utmost ability at this time. And I agree with you 100%. When a door opens, and I've told Father this since I was a young man, when you open a door, I'm going to run through it. And I've done it my whole life. And a lot of people have made fun of me. I've been lambasted and called all kinds of names. And I had a friend of mine from Tennessee said one time, what's your plan for life, Dan? I said, I don't have a plan. I just respond to whatever doors the Father opens and closes. He goes, that's not a plan. I said, well, for me, it is a plan. My plan is to obey my Father, period. And
you know what, Dan? My sail is up and my jib is free. If you understand sailing, you know what? I'm not letting my boat run in circles. But I let my jib, Father directs my jib. And for those that don't understand sailing, the rudder and the jib can certainly direct the ship.
Right.
And that's what I just heard you say. Your jib runs free like mine. And that's why I think you and I have come together so quickly here, sir. Anyway, I yield.
Well, the point is that, you know, the different facets and individuals are coming together, and now some opportunities are starting to present themselves. I'm going to remain positive over the next 4 days that even if we're being played, our Father is still in charge. And so for the next 4 days for me, even if the New World Order is going to advance their agenda, Father's going to advance his agenda, and you and Jay and I and the listeners are all part of Father's agenda, and that's the agenda I care about. So doors are opening. I want to take advantage of those doors to the best of our ability as quickly as possible, and that would up to including a video studio, using it to get the truth out. Communities, obviously, always interested in that. If anybody has any suggestions on where or how, or if they know of property that's available, getting back to organic farming and doing business according to Yahweh's law, natural health, holistic health, all of these things. These are the things that we need to be getting into. And every door that opens that could take us in that direction, I'm going to run right through it without even looking back. And so that's the plan of action. I'm going to be very skeptical, but I'm also going to be on full alert for the next 4 days. I think that's wise. A prudent man sees disaster coming and prepares for it. So good Boy Scouts prepared for any consequence. So as good Boy Scouts, we should be prepared for whatever direction we go. But in the meantime, while all this other crap's going on, we need to focus on what we as his children and the men of his people, what do we need to be doing? And every program, we should at some point go into a discussion of what are some concrete things we can be doing or the listeners can be doing to assist in the directions that we're talking about. And I
Amen.
Love the fact that Father blessed you, Jim, and has given you this great opportunity. I think it was a blessing that Jay contacted me this morning about being on, because it's been a while, and so now everybody's happy to hear Jay, because Jay's one of our favorites. Jay's a super researcher, well-connected. He's got a lot of friends in places, as you do, Jim. And when we come together, iron sharpens iron, and often I see Father works when the men decide to do what the Scripture says, which is put our egos over here on the shelf, take that ego out, put it over here on the shelf, and be a team player. So we've agreed that we're going to be team players. Okay, Father, now the team has come together. You're the coach. What do you want us to do? And so the team is coming together. We have a general location. We've been given some tools. I'm looking forward to that great big old barn door starting to swing open. That's what I'm looking forward to. And we need to keep our eyes and ears open for that event, so that we can all run through it together and be victorious while the whole world is in turmoil. We don't necessarily have to be, just like Revelation says. Babylon might be burning, but Noah and his family, while it was pouring down rain and starting to drown all the wicked, they were comfy and cozy inside the ark. They had plenty of food. They were dry. They had fires. They had conversation. They were fine. And Christ told us that these days, at the end of the age, would be just like those days for Noah. And that's what I'm looking forward to. So, Jim, Jay, and all the listeners, my door is an open door. My email is open 24/7. My cell phone's open 24/7. Any opportunities, any suggestions, anything that can help improve our situation or move us forward, you contact me, I'll contact the other men, and we'll get it done. So that's my take on it.
Amen. Amen.
Definitely. I you said something earlier. It's a little bit off topic, but it made me think of it. You were talking about the movers and shakers behind the table. There is something that's going on this week that's unprecedented. I went back all the way into the 90s, into the early 80s, and I could not find where this has ever happened before. The Bilderberg group is meeting, but at the exact same time, the G7 group is meeting, and a third group with the EU is having a huge meeting, and every politician, mover and shaker, all going to be at these things at the exact same time while this Bilderberg movement is happening. And strangely enough, the number one thing the Bilderberg guys have been inviting to their meeting this year are previous intelligence operatives from almost all the major player nations, like the previous head of the CIA, the previous head of the French version of the CIA, the previous head of MI6. Anytime a bunch of those scumbags all get together in one place, I don't know. I think the last time they probably did something like that, Kennedy got shot shortly afterwards. So there's definitely something up. They're up to something.
Jay, to your point, and you nailed it. First of all, the first cardinal from the Vatican is at the Bilderberg. First of all, okay, and they are publishing now. Remember, I forget the old gentleman's name. He used to sneak into Bilderberg, and he would get the program and release it in PDF. Well, now it's publicized. Okay, so that's number two. And number three, Trump said yesterday, President Trump, I should be more respectful, said he wants it to become the G8 again and bring Russia back into it. But, Jay, that is a very, very precise observation. And with several boxes in the tree flowchart, I'm a flowchart freak. And to summarize, we have a cardinal from the Vatican attending.
First time?
First time. Go look. And for the first time, the Bilderbergs are publishing it. Right there, it's like I had my conversation always on Sunday morning with my retired guy. He's a former prosecutor, former FBI field, and former three-president Secret Service agent. He's retired. And we had this same conversation this morning. It's right there in front of our faces. He said, Jim, they're hiding in plain sight. And I said, yeah, but I see them. So, Jay, you made a very sharp observation there, which leads us to believe something's brewing. There's something in the oven, and it's about to come out. Is it going to be a nice, tasty roast beef and mashed taters? I don't think so.
Not from an oven that's run by friggin' demons and fed on demon crap.
Right.
Well, you guys mentioned Doc Waterman. I'm assuming when you said Doc, you meant Doc Waterman, who's trying to get the Israelite Signal Corps together so that we have communication should crap hit the fan. I think that would be an awful good idea that we put out some information here in the state of Florida, and we can also have some people that are set up with Doc. But just with us folks right here in Florida, if we had something set up as to a possible frequency and date and time, and start testing our radio shacks to make
sure
they're operating.
Dan, if I may interrupt, you have a you don't need. I've got a 750. I've got a 1,000-watt. I'll send you a picture of it later. But do you have a ham radio? And you could go get a Bofang decent ham radio for $40 to $60 on Amazon, and I recommend everybody. I've sent these to my listeners. I have over the course of time. Bullfang radios. I will send you the link, Dan, if you don't have them. I've been able to get them for as low as $40 through whatever avenues. But if the internet goes down, I will still be broadcasting on a frequency that I'm not going to put over the air right now, but I will send it to you. And I have repeater friends in Jacksonville, Orlando, Atlanta, Dallas. So I can broadcast up on my stick, and it'll bounce around to the repeater sites. And you, all you have to do on that Bofang radio, I suggested, is tune in to frequency, blah, 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 blah. I also like the radio because it is tri-band. So, you know, being hurricane season here in Florida, and we have a proposed spinner coming up in the Gulf that looks like it's going to go attack Texas, not to get way off the rails here. But I cannot stress enough to anyone in the sound of my voice, our voices right now, to go get a Bofang radio. The batteries are great. If you're really needy, and I mean that with respect, I will use the Angel Fund to get you a radio. Of course, I'd need to know your mailing address, and a lot of people don't want that to happen, but the means of communication, in summary, in the event, and remember, Dan, you know, you know who I am off air, and my patents are in telecom. They will definitely take down cellular. They will definitely take down the internet, and they would have to do some serious jamming to take down our ham frequencies. And people say, well, don't I need a ham license? Well, the answer is yes, except if the shit's hitting the fan, I don't think the FCC is going to come knock at your door. I'm not kidding. And
I know. I agree. You're right. We're talking end-time scenario, crap hits the fan. Nobody's going to give a damn about licenses. It's just going to be, do you have it and can you operate it? It's exactly why I learned to fly a plane. I don't have a license. But if there's crap hitting the fan and there's a Cessna 172 sitting over there, I know how to get in it, start it, and get it off the ground and fly it.
You know what, so, Dan? Same here. I did ground school with the intent to get my license, and things came up. But I'll tell you what, brother. If I see a plane over there with keys in it and it's a single engine, I guarantee you I can get that plane off the ground and land it. It might not be pretty.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm pretty sure I can do both. Yeah.
Yeah. No guarantee about how smooth and pretty it'll be, but I can get it done. So that's the main thing. So, yeah, good
thank
information.
Thank you for flying Huttmaster Air today. I'm sorry it was a little rocky landing, but we got you home safe, you know.
Yeah. Well,
being loaded into a FEMA crane, so good deal.
Yeah. Well, what we can do, too, is while we still have the internet and these conference calls that are available, I do want to remind everybody, go to PastorDan.net as long as we have it. That's where I put important information, especially if I'm running, if I'm very busy, I don't have time to do a lot of emailing. I'm going to put any notices up there, a special broadcast information will be on the radio page. That also has any calls. So while we still have this, that will be the emergency broadcast system, and also Jimmy's station up there, Bank versus UTV. So we'll use these channels while we have it, and in the meantime, we'll work on getting our ham radio circuit put back together. I do have a transceiver, and actually, I'm bragging a little bit. I've probably got one of the best that's made. And it's new in a box, and it's been sitting over here on a shelf for almost 15 years. But it's
Dan, get it out, get it going. Is it an ICOM? ICOM is my transceiver.
That's what mine
is. Yes, sir. I'm going to send you a picture just to pound my chest here after we go off air. But I'll tell you what, I've It's been online for years. I've got the big stick out in my backyard. You can't even see it. I'm sure the FBI that flies over from time to time can see it. But I can transmit packets over it, which will turn to voice. So if we give you the, you know, it's kind of like the Radio Free Europe frequency, tuned to 16 or 164 by 96 on the FM band or UHF band, at least people can get news. And with your radio, especially where you're located, there's no doubt that you and I can communicate antenna to antenna with your ICOM.
Right. Yeah. Well, I've also got I won't say what the wattage is, but I've also got a booster to put in line with the output in the antenna, so I can jack it up to where I can reach the entire United States if I wanted to.
Yes.
So
I'm with you.
Okay. So we'll work on that off air and share it with people as we can. But right now, you always left this avenue to us, and just let the folks know then that we will be on here. Pay attention to the website and the schedule pages, both for Jimmy's station and mine. If there's any urgent material, now we didn't have Patrick Little. We wanted to have Patrick Little, who was running for Congress in California, to come on and talk with us. So if he's available, I want people to hear what he's got to say. So we may have a special broadcast. Could be any day of the week, any time of the day.
Well, Dan, Pastor Dan, if you would just phone me and say, Jimmy, we're about to go live, I will definitely switch this over. I didn't announce that I was doing it today, but I've got people that are on my channel right now listening to us. So you call me. I don't care if it's 3 a.m. If we need a special broadcast, I am 5 minutes away from going live.
Okay.
Okay.
Very good.
I think it's very important that we keep in touch. And again, I'm gonna bow out. I'm gonna stay here until you end. But Jay, it has been my honor and pleasure to make your coins today. And Pastor Dan, it is our relationship is growing ever stronger day by day. And for that, I am thankful to our Father. And may I ask Dan before you exit, if you'd exit with a prayer. I always like to do that, and you're the man to do it.
Okay, I will certainly do that. And we thank you for being here and also for simulcasting over your station and just for the future that Father's got for us. We're looking forward to that and the good things that are going to come from it. Jay, have you got anything in closing before we'll say our closing prayer?
Oh no! Thank you for offering what you're offering. It's like a dream come true. It's awesome, and I thank you. And I'm sure we'll be meeting each other. I'm sure we'll if things go on for the next several weeks, months, we'll see more of each other for sure. In the meantime, everybody, keep your wheels out of the mud and your powder dry.
I've said that for many years. I've ended on so many emails with keep your powder dry. And most of the guys know what that means. I would hope that every listener would know what keeping your powder dry is talking about. If they don't, look it up. Right? You got to Google now, so everybody has instant access to information. It's amazing to me. Years ago, we had to dig in libraries. We had to go find organizations with extensive hard copy libraries to get a lot of this stuff. Now you can go in and type a few words into a search engine, and hell, you get 10 times more than we could find back in the 80s and 70s. So use it while we've got it, folks. This is a tool. Father's given us a chance to reach out and expose the lies. The enemy hates that. The enemy hates the truth. So if you want to cut the enemy to the quick, just tell the truth. If you want to make points with our Heavenly Father, just tell the truth. So what do you think you got to do on a day-to-day basis? Tell the truth, okay? That's the main thing. In fact, let me give a quote here. Let me give a quote. This is called the Code of Honor, and I think it would be a good way to end the program. We'll talk about the Code of Honor here. It says, "Be without fear in the face of your enemies. Stand brave and upright, that Yahweh may love you Speak the truth always, even if it means your death. Protect the helpless and do no wrong. And I might add here, too, this one's very important. I haven't said it in a few times. Dr. Henry Heinz, the Khazar Zionist Jew Communist Kissinger, said this in Evian's France in 1991. Today, America would be outraged if United Nations troops entered Los Angeles to restore order. Tomorrow, they will be grateful. This is especially true if they were told that there was an outside threat from beyond, whether real or promulgated, that threatened our very existence. It is then that all peoples of the world will plead to deliver them from this evil. The one thing every man fears is the unknown. When presented with this scenario, individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by the world government. Henry Jew Kissinger, communist, kiss my ass. I don't want anything from you, the United Nations, Washington, D.C., or any other group or organization or individual associated with the New World Order, which is associated with Satan. All right? So you can kiss my butt. I know what you're up to. I know what your underlings are up to. I know what all you Kabbalists are up to. And we're here, the sons of Yahweh are here, to bring you down exactly as Obadiah 18 says, exactly as Luke chapter 19, verse 27 says, etc. There goes on and on and on. And one of my favorites, Psalm 149. Every patriot, every man should be quite aware of Psalm 149. You should be reading it every single day, right along with Psalm 91. Those two psalms should be the soldiers' psalms as we go forward. All right. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor that you and you alone deserve. We thank you for this opportunity to use this medium that's presented here to reach out to our brothers and sisters with this truth. We know the enemy hates this truth. We thank you for blessing Jimmy. We thank you for blessing him with his knowledge, with his drive, his passion, and now with his studio and his opportunity to circle around the enemy that is censoring us. You have said that your word would not go out and not come back to you void. This is the way we do it, Father. You give us that through the Holy Spirit, through dreams, through visions, through associates, whatever. You give us those insights, those little bits of wisdom to let us know what to do, and we thank you for that. We thank you for Jay and all the hard work he does. We know him personally, and we know he's a avid researcher, and he's a truth teller and a truth seeker, which is what we should all be. We thank you for him and for all the other listeners and those that will be listening later on by download. We ask for a blessing upon all of our men. We ask the soldiers' ransom. Even though this is not the Feast of Tabernacles, we know we're not in sequence there, but I feel led to ask the soldiers' ransom for all of our men-at-arms, potential soldiers in this fight. We plead the soldiers' ransom on them and ask that they donate one single dollar. That's all you need to do, men. One single FRN, $1, to the work of Yahweh in whatever way you choose. That's all he asks for a soldier's ransom. So we ask a blessing upon each soldier that he knows what to do to get ready. We also ask Yahweh's hedge of protection on all of his soldiers. These are perilous times that we live in, and now we look up to heaven and we ask the Father watch there over us and to bless us and to guide us. And most certainly, Father, please protect us from our enemies, because we have many. As we go forward to bring about your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. And we ask all this in the name of our Heavenly Father, Yahweh. And hallelujah. Thank you for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Jay. And we'll catch you next time. Yahweh bless.
Amen. And God did. God bless.
Amen.
We clear?